Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on what is April 16th, 2021. How are you guys doing out there? I mean, you got to be doing well since you made it to the end of the week, right? And it's Friday and the weekend is drawing near for most of us. I mean, heck, some of you may even have the day off and have begun your weekend a little early, right? I know it's been a bit of a chilly one here in Michigan, and, you know, I decided actually in 40-degree weather, you know, the high yesterday was something like 43, 45 degrees, and it was a bit windy yesterday, but, you know, my homeboy Nick, a good friend of mine, you know, we had been planning to play golf for a long, long time. I mean, this has been like literally years in the making, so finally, you know, we decided earlier this week that, hey, we're going to do this thing, you know, on Thursday. It looked as though there was going to be no rain. And at first, the highs looked like they were going to be like in the 50s. But that changed like midweek, and we're still like, oh, boy, do we really want to do this? And we're like, no, man, we haven't. We've been planning this for years. We got to make this happen. So we played yesterday in probably what was the coldest of conditions that I have ever golfed in, folks. And I didn't play great to start, partly because Al Woods couldn't really feel his hands, couldn't really feel his phalanges, okay? but as I got warmed up, you know, I was out there with a scully on, with a long sleeve shirt and a jacket over that, like a thermal kind of a sports jacket over that, sweatpants. I mean, we were bundled up, but it was still very, very cold, especially when it came to, you know, trying to make contact on a golf ball. Our hands were freezing, but we made it happen, all right? And as you know, golf is my way and has been probably, you know, right next to video games, that's been like my ultimate release. You know, I've always said during this time, during this pandemic, you know, especially when it really hit us and, you know, we were on lockdown, you know, you had to find that thing just to kind of get away and stay sane, to be honest with you. You know, whether it's, you know, reading, whether it's working out at home, right, during the time when the pandemic really hit us, or, you know, doing something outdoors where the likelihood of catching the virus is lower. So golf, I played a ton of golf, probably the most golf I've ever played in my life during the pandemic time, because that has become like one of my releases alongside, you know, video games and doing some reading as well. So, and the gym was already a part of my life, you know, that never really went away. But I will say during the, you know, the thick of things with the pandemic, you know, I wasn't going to the gym for safety reasons, and working out home, I really miss throwing the weights around. So it's good to be back in the weight room as well. But I say all that to say, you know, find that thing where you can escape a bit. All right. Find that thing that keeps you hopefully healthy you know, not just mentally, but physically as well, you know, if you can, because there's a direct correlation between physical health and mental health, folks. All right. But yeah, we played yesterday, and Al Woods got it going on the last, you know, we played nine holes on the last four holes. I got it going, but that was a rough start. I must say that. All right. So I'm back at it here on this Fri-yay edition of the show. In segment B, we are going to have more Michigan State spring football coverage. That's really one of the dominant stories for us during this month. And you'll get the chance to hear from assistant coach Scotty Hazleton, who is Mel Tucker's defensive coordinator. And Scotty spoke to us, media members, this week about a lot of different things. And he really is going to put in perspective what he calls the blur of 2020, because there was just so much that went on in the midst of the pandemic and just trying to figure out the Michigan State defense, you know, trying to get the players for the Michigan State football team to trust and buy into his defensive philosophy. So, yeah, and he's really excited about spring ball. And, you know, Michigan State, though, is losing, you know, some key pieces, you know, going into this next season, you know, starting linebacker Antoine Simmons, defensive tackle Naquan Jones, cornerback Shakur Brown. You know, those are players who are leaving to head to the pros, right? The NFL draft, which is right around the corner. And I do want to touch upon the Detroit Lions in just a moment here. But yeah, you lose guys like Simmons, Jones, Brown. I mean, those are big losses. And then you add that to the departure of seven vets to the transfer portal. You know, part-time starter Chris Jackson, you know, among the four defensive backs to leave, and Michigan State's depth took another significant hit, you know, from a unit that ranked, what, like 54th in football bowl subdivision in total defense. So, you know, it's a lot of turnover here. A lot of turnover. And in Hazleton, he comes from Kansas State. And, you know, he's trying to establish his system. So you'll hear a bit of what Scotty had to say this week in just a moment. But a few things I want to touch upon. We've got some recruiting news as wide receiver Xavier Worthy. Wide receiver Xavier Worthy, he has decommitted from Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverine squad. He is the number 61st ranked prospect in the 2021 class. He announced yesterday that he has asked for a release from the national letter of intent that he signed with Michigan back in December. So Worthy, he's 6'1", 165, a receiver from Central East High School out in Fresno, California. He was the second highest ranked prospect in Michigan's class behind quarterback J.J. McCarthy. So, of course, as is customary now in the world that is Twitterverse and social media, Worthy, he had a big statement on his Twitter feed that, man, has been retweeted 167 times and quoted 195 times. But this is what Xavier Worthy had to say. Quote, "Since graduating high school, I look forward to starting my college football career at the University of Michigan. However, due to circumstances beyond my control, things did not go as planned, and I have submitted my national letter of intent release request. To the Michigan coaching staff, I have nothing but the utmost respect and appreciation for the opportunity offered to me. And to the Michigan fans, I'll always be grateful for all the love and support you've shown me. At this time, I am reopening my recruitment in search of a new home to begin my college football career." So, yeah. And, you know, it's crazy, man. You know, when you read a story like this, I immediately just, I don't know why I do it to myself, but I guess it just, it's an eye opener for me, or it's a reminder of how sick we are, how sick some people are, I should say, as a society. Because, I mean, this kid is a high school kid who decides to reopen his recruitment. We don't know the reason why he has decided to reopen up his recruitment and decommit from Michigan. But those who are diehard fans, fanatics of said program, like the University of Michigan, there are some of those who are just complete idiots and are going to attack a young man for deciding to do what he feels is best for his future. And again, we don't know this young man personally. These people who are attacking this dude on Twitter don't know this dude personally, don't know this young man personally. So for you to hop on Twitter and just bash him, it just, I would never understand that. You know, and maybe I would have a little more sympathy for you if this young man was a man, like a pro doing this. But this is still a kid, really. I mean, come on. You know, I'm looking at a tweet from, you know, Waylon Thomas, at Waylon Thomas. Quote, funny how the one-time transfer eligibility passes and now you have a change of heart about your commitment. Kids nowadays want everything handed to them on a silver platter. We all knew you weren't coming since the day you said you were taking your official visit to Alabama. Well, it was hard for me to see the complete names of some of these fanatics on Twitter. It's being cut off here on my browser, but, you know, just reading a few of them. Better off somewhere else. Go. Bye. Just real salty stuff. You also have a lot of fanatics from other schools saying, hey, you know, hey, hook 'em horns. Come on over here. Oh, boy. But this is the thing. You know, this is how fans are going to react. And to be honest, you know, this is how our society is today. And when you are in the spotlight as a big time player, you are going to have to deal with this kind of attention. And you're going to have to deal with a lot of different haters. So, and, you know, it's definitely a distraction. You know, I just think, you know, if I was a big time athlete today and I was in high school, I don't know if I could be on Twitter, man, just because it's such a big distraction, you know, for a young man who is still developing, whose brain is still developing, whose personality is still developing. You know, if you go out there and have a bad game or make a decision to transfer somewhere, to read all of the hate tweets out there, I mean, you can say that stuff doesn't get to you, but, you know, as a young man who is impressionable, I mean, that stuff can kind of get to you. So, but yeah, if you just look at that tweet from Thomas, he's on Twitter at Xavier Worthy too. A lot of people are coming at this young man, but at the end of the day, hey, this is how our sports world is. The transfer portal has really changed the game and really made sports, college sports, just more mobile, you know? So that's the recruiting news coming out of the University of Michigan. I also want to note that the WNBA draft was yesterday, folks. And I want to shout out two local players who made their WNBA dreams come true. First off, Kaiser Gondrzik. Does that name ring a bell at all? She is actually the sister of a former Michigan State women's basketball player, Calabria Gondrzik. The Gondrzik sisters were absolutely fantastic when they were ballers in high school at Benton Harbor. Calabria is no longer playing. I think she just stopped. You know, she left Michigan State. Left Susie Merchant's program. And I think at one time even she was, you know, she was, a lot of people don't know this, she was dating Nick Ward. Yeah, she used to date Nick Ward. They were a thing. They were a couple back in the day. But she has left the program now, and she no longer plays. But her sister, Kaiser, was a former University of Michigan women's basketball player. And Kaiser ended up transferring, I think it was maybe after her freshman or sophomore campaign, but she transferred to West Virginia, had a pretty good career there, so good, in fact, that Kaiser Gondrzik, who was actually the 2016 Michigan Miss Basketball winner, yeah, she was that good, folks. I mean, putting up crazy numbers. I think she had one game where she had like 50-plus points and had like Skylar Diggins tweeting her. I mean, really, really good. She was a top five pick, folks. How about that? A lottery pick. Kaiser Gondrzik was picked number four by the Indiana Fever last night. And really cool stuff. If you look at her Instagram, you know, I believe she was sitting there with her family, and they were watching the television. And you know, it was really a surprise pick. But her name pops up, and she just goes insane. So congratulations to Kaiser Gondrzik. That is awesome, awesome stuff. And then 17 picks later, Michaela Kelly, who starred at Detroit King with four straight PSL titles before landing at Central Michigan. She played for the Chippewas. She was selected ninth in the second round by the Connecticut Sun. So 21st overall, Michaela Kelly goes to the WNBA. That is awesome. Awesome, awesome stuff. So Kaiser Gondrzik, Michaela Kelly heading to the WNBA. And man, you know, and speaking of the WNBA, you know, Michigan hasn't had a WNBA team since the 2009 season. Can you believe it's been that long? You guys remember the Detroit Shock, right? Coached by former Detroit Pistons bad boys, great Bill Laimbeer. I actually remember when I was a young tyke, my dad taking my sister and I to a Detroit Shock game back in the day. You know, that's when Deanna Nolan was balling out. You know, Swin Cash was a part of that team. Cheryl Ford, who is the daughter of the great Karl Malone. They were really, really good. I think they won like two championships back in the day. So, yeah, I really wish, you know, Michigan would bring back the Detroit Shock or bring back, you know, a WNBA team. You know, I love women's basketball, you know, and I fell in love with it because of, you know, covering Susie Merchant and the Michigan State women's basketball team all these years and really appreciating the game through them, you know, how fundamentally sound they are, how passionate they play. I mean, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So really, really cool stuff. Now, the number one overall pick in Thursday's draft, the Wings selected Texas star Charlie Collier, a 6'5" forward slash center who really has put women's basketball on the map out in Austin, Texas. She averaged 19 points, 11 rebounds, almost two blocks per game, shooting 51% from the floor for the Longhorns in the 2020-2021 season. Was a WBCA All-America honorable mention, helped lead number six Texas to the Elite Eight of this past year's NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. And her scoring average was actually the sixth best in Texas program history. And she was only the fourth Longhorn to average a double-double over the course of a season, a feat that she accomplished in each of the last 2 years. So that is just awesome, awesome stuff. And she is going to be a bona fide star in the WNBA. So awesome stuff, man. And yeah, and you know, and when Kaiser was here, you know, she, you know, playing for Kim Barnes-Orrico and the Michigan women's basketball squad, she made the all Big Ten freshman team in 2016-17, averaged about 15 points a game. The transfer was really puzzling because she was having, it's not like, you know, she wasn't getting minutes and she wasn't a focal point of that team. I mean, she was one of the stars of that team. But again, we just don't know. We don't know what's happening in the inner workings of the program. We don't know what's happening in the mind of Kaiser. But, you know, she transferred to West Virginia, you know, sat out 1 year, but in 56 games with the Mountaineers, she averaged 17.1 points. Really, really good player. you know, a former Michigan Miss Basketball winner. So congratulations to her. That is awesome, awesome stuff, folks. And lastly, what I want to touch on before you hear from Michigan State defensive coordinator Scotty Hazleton on his thoughts on the preparation for the Michigan State football program throughout spring practice is that the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame has announced the list of Hall of Famers who have been selected and scheduled to present the 2020 class of honorees. And the biggest name among all of those presenters, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, his airness himself, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, will be honoring Kobe Bryant. How about that, man? So Kobe's big brother and the player that he patented his game after, his big bro, MJ, is going to induct him into the Hall of Fame. Of course, we lost Kobe. Man, it feels like yesterday, right? My goodness, it feels like yesterday. I can't believe that it's been this long since we lost Kobe Bryant, you know, January of 2020. I can't believe it's been that long. You know, and it's still, yeah, it's one of those deaths, man. Kobe was such a big, 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 big component of the sporting world and beyond, of the culture, man. That when you lose somebody, you know, that big, man, it just doesn't feel real. It still does not feel real. So it's fitting that MJ is going to induct him. And, you know, if you remember, you know, during the memorial service, Jordan, he spoke. MJ spoke at that memorial service. And, yeah, and MJ is also going to introduce Baylor women's coach Kim Mulkey, making him the only Hall of Fame presenter who has presented multiple candidates. So that's pretty amazing. But again, that connection between MJ and Kobe, it's deeper than anyone knew. Though that only came really to light when Jordan gave that heartfelt speech at the memorial service following the death of Kobe. And you know, it's funny when you look back at that that speech from MJ, and he was just tore up, man. I mean, you know, there were some really tough moments for MJ as he sat up there, just tears streaming down his face. I don't think we've ever seen MJ that emotional before. I can't think of another time where we've seen him break down like that, which puts in perspective just how deep that connection was. And we really didn't know, you know, a lot of their relationship, you know, wasn't seen because it was behind, you know, closed doors away from the cameras. And Jordan said, quote, "At first it was aggravation." that's what Jordan said of Kobe constantly hitting him up with questions. You know, how do you do this, MJ? You know, how should I approach this? You know, I got thoughts about my fadeaway, you know. You know, how do you do this? Just and then MJ said, quote, "Then it became a passion. As I got to know him, I wanted to be the best big brother I could be." Wow, man. Yeah, and I know it's going to be another highly emotional moment as Jordan stands up there yet again to talk about his little brother. But, yeah, man, May 15th. May 15th is going to be the induction ceremony. And, you know, Brian, this is the 2020 class, but because of the coronavirus pandemic, it has been pushed to 2021, and it will happen next month. So, yeah, man. But, you know, and Kobe, you know, he joins a really star-studded list. You know, fellow first-round ballot inductees Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett, they will be introduced by David Robinson and Isaiah Thomas, respectively. So David Robinson will, of course, induct Tim Duncan, that connection there when they played with the San Antonio Spurs together. And you know, the Admiral became a mentee, a mentor for Tim Duncan. And Isaiah Thomas, the great Zeke, that's right, you know, former Detroit Pistons great, is going to induct KG. So, and Rudy Tomjanovich, two-time NBA champ and coach of the Houston Rockets, he will be presented by franchise icons Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon and also Calvin Murphy. So, yeah, that's going to be a big, big moment. I can't wait to watch that. And you better believe there's going to be a lot of tears flowing due to Kobe Bryant not being here, you know. And somebody, my fraternity brother Keith, you know, he commented when I saw the news that that MJ was going to induct Kobe. You know, my fraternity brother Keith commented and said, "Man, you know, what's really sad for me, another moment that's going to come down the line is that Kobe Bryant won't be there to induct LeBron James into the Basketball Hall of Fame." And he said, that makes me sad. And yeah, that is very, very true. Very, very true. That is, you know, it's just the loss of Kobe Bryant. It still does not feel real that day happened in late January of last year. It still doesn't feel real, and I can't believe it's been that long. It's been over a year now, a year and some change since that moment has happened. And you know, it's one of those moments where you'll never forget where you were. You never forget what you were doing. You know, I was at, and I've told this story before. I was at a press interview for a film, my very first film. You know, for those who may not know, I also act. I'm an actor, and it was my very first film. And the director had set up, you know, these press interviews to help pub the film. That's what you do, right? And I was sitting there waiting to do my interview, and one of the co-stars in the film, my homie Ward, who's also in radio, shout out to my guy Ward, he just looked at me and said, "Al, Kobe Bryant is dead." And I'm like, I remember thinking like, dude, just stop. Don't, that's not funny. Don't play like that. He's like, "Nah, man, Kobe Bryant is dead." And I'm like, where are you reading this at? And he showed me his phone, and it was from TMZ, and TMZ is a pretty reliable source. And I read it, and I started to read the details and saying it was a helicopter crash, and they didn't know at the time who else was in the helicopter. And I'm just sitting there reading this. And I remember I had a physical reaction. Like, I remember, like, my whole body went numb for like 2 to 3 seconds. And then people were asking like, "Yo, what's going on?" And then, you know, as word traveled around the room, everybody just stopped. You know, the interviews were going on. Everybody stopped and took a 10-minute break because of that news. And it, you know, I went home and watched all of the coverage on the national television news cycles. And it was just, it just blew my mind, man. And I shed many, many tears. Cannot lie to you guys. I shed many, many tears, especially that night. I remember specifically before I went to bed, I watched Kobe Bryant's Oscar-winning short film, Dear Basketball. It's an animated short, amazing, amazing film. And I remember watching it and just like weeping like a baby, man, before I went to bed. Crazy. Crazy, crazy stuff. So, the greatest of all time, MJ, will induct Kobe Bean Bryant, one of the greatest to ever do it, come next month. All right, with that, let's hit our first break. And when we come back, you will hear what Michigan State defensive coordinator Scotty Hazleton had to say this week concerning the preparation of the Michigan State football program and how 2020 really just felt like a blur. That and more, you are listening to the Friday Fri-Yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and right now I want to roll in the media availability, a bit of the media availability for Michigan State assistant coach Scotty Hazleton, who is the Michigan State football defensive coordinator. Here is a bit of what Scotty Hazleton had to say concerning the preparation of the Spartans throughout spring practice.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, everybody. It's good to be here with y'all, finally, kind of, sort of. But hopefully we can do this in person soon, right? Let's all keep our fingers crossed. But last year, it's still a little bit of a blur to us all, I think. I think it's one of those things that, we're super excited to be in spring ball right now. I mean, it's really where you get a chance to develop the guys and get them really understanding the details of what you're trying to do. We got to install, quite a bit of the defense last season. We had to cut it down some because of because of the situation it was, and it is what it is, right? And so now we're trying to say, okay, we can go back and double back. And really we attacked it in kind of a cool way as we went through. We started off saying, okay, hey, we got a little bit of time, during the weight room time that we could meet with the guys, so we took that and we really took it on an NFL model of, hey, here's phase one. Let's reinstall. Let's revisit. Hey, here's some of the things that each player, and we broke it down by player, hey, here's some of the things you did really good. And here's some of the things you need to work on, so they had an idea when they had that time and when they could do that extra stuff during the weight room that they could work on a skill that they had, and then we started phase two, which was really, hey, now we got to be on the field with the guys a little bit and the weight staff gave us some time from their hours, and then we can start to go through and say, okay, hey, we can start installing defenses again. So really, when we started spring ball, it was the opportunity. So the third chance we had this spring to reinstall again. So now you're talking, really we had a Zoom install, and then we had season and it was real. And then we had a chance to do it, more this spring, already three times than we did even before we got there. So that's the cool part. And really the great thing we're looking at is the guys are starting to learn the other parts, not just what do I do? Some of it's like, hey, the first thing you do is memorize, what am I trying to do here? But hey, how do you want me to do it? What's the techniques you want me to use? Where are my eyes? Where do you want my hands? How do I make this break? How do I play this block? How do I do those things? And the why, why am I doing it? Why is this part important to the defense? Because that's the small things that sometimes, we were lacking last year is the technique and fundamentals and then how it affected everybody else around me. So it's cool to be going through that stuff.
Hey, Scotty, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. Hey, every spring there's a shortage somewhere just because of the numbers you use. You don't have freshmen coming in and the seniors have left and everything. But have you ever had a spring like this where you are really anticipating guys who have not arrived yet to have important roles immediately? I know at Kansas State in the past, they had a lot with junior colleges. I don't know if that was the case when you were there, but have you ever had it like this before in the spring where, like you said, you're keeping places warm in anticipation of guys coming in and making a difference? What's that like?
Sure. I think that it's, I think everywhere has that spot. You might think that, hey, this guy we're hoping, and it's the same questions, it's the same as, you lose a few guys to the league here or there, you have some of those things. And yeah, I think every spring you go in with anxiety, unless you're, it takes a really special situation to not, and even with the guys on your team, sometimes you're like, okay, we have these two young guys who haven't played much and they're going to need to step up and become starters. And I think that's the same anxiety as you do when you're getting a junior college transfer or with the new transfer portal, the new transfers, and it's different. And yes, you've been around where you'd say, listen, there's a deficiency here. And so when you look at it, you say, okay, if there's a deficiency at a spot, okay, backup plans, And listen, let's be real. We've all got good at those this last year. Hey, what happens if they don't start or what happens if they cancel it and they do, all those kind of things. So you do as a guy, you have to plan for that and you have to say, okay. But I think that it's normal to go in with one or two big question marks. Maybe we have more than that, or we're expecting more guys to come in. But if we can look around and say, listen, we got, we can step on the field tomorrow and say, okay, we can put a starting 11 out there and okay, we're in good shape. Now, can we put out the next 11? Well, we're still going to need to do some work on that. Hopefully we get some guys in that are going to fill that and add to the competition and raise everybody's bar, or even maybe take some of those jobs, that's okay. And that's, I think that's more – what you always want. I think in this day and age, you know, high school players are becoming better in junior college and with the transfer market. I think that the new norm is going to be that way with the transfer market, where you got to say a chance that you might even say, hey, we got a starter coming back at a spot, but we got this guy off the transfer, or we got a junior college guy, or we got a really good high school kid, and we're really recruiting to replace all the guys on our team every year. And that's really the goal. And hopefully you can make that the new norm where guys are, you know, even though there's not a body in the room with him during spring, well, he can already feel that pressure, because when that steps on campus, now it's a new thing. And hopefully we're getting to the point where, because that's what you're always trying to do. You're trying to out-recruit the guys you have. You know, and that's what you want it to be like all the time.
All right. I know you don't have a full slate on defense right now, but what were your impressions of this scrimmage yesterday, and what areas did you see improvements compared to the first scrimmage?
You know, we got the ball more. You know, that was the good thing. You know, we got the ball a few times, and that's always good to see. You know, I know that it's probably opposite. You know, it's a zero sum game, you know, so, you know, the offense is probably mad about that. You know, we did a better job with our communication, just being able to talk and talk through things. You know, our alignment was a little bit better. With our urgency, I'm saying, you know, getting guys fast, getting alignment so we could talk and communicate. You know, and I felt like, you know, our pass rush, when we got into those situations, was pretty good. And that's some of the thing going back to, hey, yes, we did bring in some guys that add extra rushers, and we can move some guys around and get into some different speed groups and put different people on the field. So that was cool. Things we need to work on still, you know, some of it's us as coaches too. You know what I mean? We had a couple times where we had substitution errors. You know what I mean? There was incomplete. Hey, we're running one group on the field because we're trying to play more guys up front, like we were talking about earlier, and we're not getting the guys off in time, and the offense is going fast, and we have to be ready for that. We have to do a better job with that as coaches. You know, we had a couple lack of discipline things, you know what I mean? Like just something, you know, you get the guys geared up, hey, we're rushing, and oh, then we jump, you know what I mean? And we had the ability to take away. We didn't get called on one, but we had the ability to take away one of those takeaways because we were undisciplined with that. So there's still those things that we need to clean up, you know what I mean? And you know, I think we're getting better. It's just fun to see when the guys go out there, and it's fun to show them, hey, when we're using these fundamentals, when we're triggering, when we understand leverage, when we understand how to pinch a ball carrier in open space, or we understand how to stay on a block and keep our head in a crack and contact balance and those things, you know, you can show them, hey, here's a great example, and it's happening more often, and here's another poor example, and it's happening less often. And those are the things that you see that excites you about the scrimmage.
One more thing is, are there any players you can name that may have been outside of the playing group that so far in spring practice that you could mention that have you know, broken through that door a little bit, that are functional now? Any players you could mention?
Sure. I mean, like, I think I already mentioned Jeff Petrosky. You know, I mean, he's a guy that's really developed. You know, I know that he played very little last year, you know, played on some special teams and did some stuff like that. And he's really coming along as a defensive end. Maverick Hansen is a guy who, you know, I mean, I don't know how many reps he got last year, but he sprinkled in some, and he's a really strong dude that can do some things. Cal Holliday made some really good plays yesterday, and that was great to see a young dude being able to play linebacker and run through and make some plays that you go, wow, you know, here's a young guy that's growing up. You know, KB Brooks is doing a good job. He was out there playing some nickel, you know, and let me think who else. I mean, you know, the Grosses and the Gerbs and the X's and all them dudes. You know, another guy that's been doing a good job this spring for us and had a good break, you know, got on course and did a good job in the middle field was Darius Snow. You know what I mean? He did some decent things yesterday too. So that's kind of exciting to see because of the reps and the opportunities these guys have. Those kind of guys are growing for us, you know, and doing a good job.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Next question, we'll go to Paul from Spartan Mag.
Hey, Scotty, thanks for doing this. I wanted to ask you about four-man pressure and if you guys are getting that on a more consistent basis this spring. Mel talked about wanting to get more of that, and I just kind of wanted to ask you about just defensive ends overall. It seems like you've got a lot of guys that can stop the run, maybe not some like real 10-sack type edge threats. Can you just talk about the development of that D-line and what you're seeing?
Sure. That's a good question. Well, right now – to start off with the first one, you know, it's always a tough deal to tell, is because you know, you're going against the same guys every day and they're starting to learn each other a little bit. You know what I mean? But I do feel like our rush has gotten some better. And some of the things are like we were talking about substitution errors. You know, you're allowed to keep guys more fresh because you do have that depth now. You're allowed to keep guys, you know, and move guys around, you know, move a guy inside if he can rush there. Or, hey, let's try this guy inside because it's spring ball and do all that kind of stuff. And I feel like our rush after yesterday, it feels like it's gotten better. You know what I mean? Is there told that, you can't tell yet, you know, but we're learning to rush together as a group. And I think that was some of the deal last year is, you know, it's not so much always me beating you one-on-one. It's me beating you one-on-one. And I took this path to it so we understand the net of the quarterback and how to, you know, our different rush lanes. And I think that that's been developing, you know, getting a little bit better over time. You know, there's time. And when we get into those situations, the second part of that is the situational ball of it. You know, if you get into a situation where you say, listen, hey, we know it's third down. We know they're going to throw. We know we get to some 2 minutes. You get up on a team or you put them in situational ball where you say, hey, they have to play from behind. I think that yes, the guys there at defensive end have done a good job developing and the inside guys are understanding the rush lanes and doing all that stuff together. And I think that we've been doing a much better job with that, especially in situational ball. Now, as the second part of your question was.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask about the edge rushers. You sure. know, I know that Drew Jordan's been mentioned as a guy that can get after quarterback. He hasn't put up big numbers sack wise. I wonder if he's been able to help and just sure. overall development of edge guys.
Yeah, you know, he's done a good job, you know, just coming in and giving a new little sprinkle to it, you know what I mean, which allows you to put a guy like Beasley inside of some of the rushes. You know, I think Kuba's always a guy that you can, you know, get cranked up and hopefully get healthy, and he's been healthier this spring, which has been good because you can start him to see some of the stuff come around, what he's been doing. We do have some young guys like Petro's done a good job. Fletch is still developing in some of his rush stuff, which is outstanding. You know, a guy like Avery Dunn is a long dude who's gained a bunch of weight and can play some of the run stuff now. And we're hoping that he continues to develop because he does have a great, tremendous get off and he can get the edge on a lot of guys. And then with the addition of Brandon Wright, I mean, you got a guy who is a running back, you know, I mean, that dude can fly and we're trying to work out the kinks on, you know, cause it's a whole new ball game for him, you know, that he's trying to process through and he's getting closer. I know we made the switch and messed around with him a little bit last year, but really, you know, it's a different story when you have time to develop a guy. So I think that there's some bodies there that give us an ability to get edge rush. And that's really a big part of what we need to do. And I think we're starting to understand the second part of it is this. There's times on first and second down when we can go, you know, and when we're playing. So I think that when we go back to the original deal of, hey, it's great to have time to spend with these guys to learn the how and the why, then that pressure can start to show up a little bit more on first and second down because they understand when they can take a shot. They can understand when they can risk. They understand what defenses that we can get off the ball and go, because really when you're playing first and second down or it's third and one, you know, that sometimes is hard to get a rush when you're just playing base fundamentals, you know. But I think that's coming too with the other parts to it.
All right, again, Michigan State defensive coordinator Scotty Hazleton there touching on numerous areas concerning Michigan State football and the preparation throughout spring practice. And, you know, he touched upon the substitution errors, the amount of turnover for this team moving forward, especially defensively. Going to be an interesting year as Mel Tucker now enters his second season for the Michigan State football team. And I'm just curious to see what that roster looks like on the field playing come this spring game on, again, mark your calendars on April 24th, a little more than just a week away now, folks, at Spartan Stadium. All right. So let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports. All right. right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we just have minutes left here. Just a quick reflection Friday as I look at the week that has been here on Current Sports and bringing you some of my favorite moments and maybe a few moments that we didn't get a chance to expound upon. First off, you know, I don't know about you, but hearing from Mel Tucker and his assistant coaches, you know, throughout the week, I just want to see some football, right? I'm missing football terribly. And don't get me wrong, I'm a basketball guy, all right? But, gosh, especially with the way last season went and, you know, we didn't know if we would have a Michigan State football year and things were called off and then they do have a season and it's a shortened season, it's conference only. It was wild, as you heard from Scotty Adelson. It was really a blur. So I'm just looking forward to having college football back in my life. And again, we are, just a little more than a week away, a week and a day away, 8 days away from the Michigan State spring game on April 24th. So looking forward to that and great insight from Scotty Hazleton today. Also, have you been paying attention to what Steph Curry has been doing? This brother has been on one of the hottest streaks throughout his crazy good 12-year career. As he, you know, he scored 42 points during Wednesday's win over the Thunder and just went off. And, you know, he had like a 37-point quarter, I mean, which is just insane. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, I really don't know. I run out of adjectives to describe just how good Steph Curry is. I mean, it really is just, it's a privilege to watch him play the game of basketball. It really is. We're watching the greatest shooter of all time. And I'm sorry, I'm looking at the stats wrong. It wasn't a 37-point quarter. I'm thinking of like Klay Thompson. Back in the day, Klay Thompson did that. Remember when Klay Thompson hit like 14 trays? But Curry has had multiple quarters in which he scored like 25 points. I mean, just insane. Insane what he's doing this week. Just eye-popping. He has scored 30 or more points in 8 straight games. 11 three-pointers Wednesday, 10 on Monday. It was the second time in his career in which he has had back-to-back games with 10 or more threes. He had 53 points in Monday's win over the Denver Nuggets. He passed Wilt Chamberlain in that game as well to become the Warriors' all-time leading scorer. I mean, anytime you pass Wilt the Stilt in any category, man, that is a notch on the belt. All right? That's a feather in the cap, without a doubt. And Wednesday's output also marked the 25th time this season that Curry has scored 30 or more points. And it came on a night when the Warriors tied a franchise record with 24 three-pointers. I mean, just like every night, this dude does something that is special. And he is a revolutionary player. I've always said this with Steph Curry, and it's no secret now. It's why when you go pick up when you go play a pickup game now, you got maybe one or two guys who think they're the next Steph Curry, and they just come down firing threes left and right. Everybody believes they're this crazy good three-point shooter. It is crazy what this dude is doing, and I have to acknowledge his greatness. All right? Okay, folks, I want you guys to have a great weekend. I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.